Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
When illegal,
better beware, be canny and careful.
Who sings that song? Julie Andrews. Yeah, let's keep it that way.
Oh, okay.
It's 18, we're legal!
Yay!
I can drink now. We can all drink. Let's drink to episode number 18. We've got our cans of non-alcoholic beverages here.
And I have water.
And water.
Here's cheers, big ears. Same goes, big nose.
You're a teetotaler, you know.
Oh, refreshing.
So are we ready to start a new program?
Oh, absolutely.
Yep, sorry. Cubby House is gone.
What?
We're keeping the same program, right?
No. Is it now the Bear House now? Because
We're legal? No.
Because we're legal.
No, I'm still a cub. Through and through.
Mm-hmm. So,
awkward.
We're back, and it's been about a month since our last podcast, so we are infinitely sorry from the bowels of our heart that we hadn't been able to produce another episode. But we're here now, and that's what counts.
That's right.
Yes. Now, because we've been away for so long, we have got a few things to cover for Southern Hibernation, but that's not to say we're going to be showing you the stuff that was done during Southern Hibernation. Now, you've got a special present for us, haven't you, Jack?
A special present. I like presents.
It's come from a lot of time and effort and love.
And it's birthday 18. You need to give us presents.
Okay, come here. I'll give you a big smoochy grandma kiss followed by an adult kiss.
They're both the same, aren't they?
Oh, no, they're not.
No, for us Aussies, the adult kiss, it's down under.
Oh, that's almost flaggable.
I think I saw that movie, Adult Kiss Down Under. So anyway, I've been working on a documentary about the Southern Hibernation 2009 experience. It's still in post-production stage, but it hopefully should be in the feed in about 2 weeks' time. That's from the time of recording. Maybe by the time that this podcast actually gets into your ears, it probably should be about a week or so. We'll see about that. So what it is that it is the journey of the 11 competitors and myself kind of narrating it all, kind of piecing it all together. And we go through what they go through as competitors, as well as some of the history and the politics of the competition as well. So I'm going to try and be a little bit of a media junket whore and try and get the word out. And hopefully it should be super.
Thanks for asking.
Super. Thanks for asking.
What's that out of?
South Park.
South Park. Nerd. Ha ha.
Yes. All right. Oh, I've got two topics, actually.
Ooh.
The first one I would like to cover is from a song by The Script. It's called The Man Who Can't Be Moved, which is a tale of one guy and his dedication for love. And I'll be asking later on, how far would we go for love and how soon will our sensibility kick in? The other topic I've also got is come up to a recent thing that happened to me. It had a lot more to do with the other person, but I had somebody come out to me for the first time rather than me coming out to them, and I wanted to know off you guys and from the general public, how would you go about mentoring somebody who's just recently out? So we'll talk about that a little bit later on.
Also, Ryan wages war on iPhones.
Well, it's not really waging war. It's just
a waging war.
A waging war. Be very, very quiet. I'm waging war. It's just a belief or a personal opinion I have. I'm sick to death of people with iPhones. So just a little bit of a gripe with that.
Also, we talk a bit about the Bear Ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if you're involved in the scene, sometimes it, all your life becomes is the scene. And that's, I want to go into that a little bit more. Also in this episode, we have the results of the completely 100% unofficial Cubby House People's Choice Awards. So wait out for that one. And also I ask a few questions of this year's competitors to see if they are really worth their weight. I'm pretty sure it's meant in gold, but...
yes, well...
Maybe weight in fur or something.
Ball size, etc.
Mm. Well, just see if they've got the grey matter to go along with the general loveliness that's on the outside.
Oh.
If they're as good on the inside as they are on the outside.
All that and spruiking much, much more on show number 18.
I'm excited.
Will, Southern Hibernation 2009. Will had different roles. I played my part
as a bottom,
as I always do.
As a gigantic bottom.
Well, he's not gigantic, he's cuddly and snuggly.
No.
I wasn't referring to his physical size.
Oh, right, okay. Okay.
Yes, thank you.
How awkward for you.
Yes. Wow. The unfortunate thing was I had planned to become a competitor well before I had my work-related injury. So I still competed.
What was your work-related injury for the rest of the class?
Well, for those who haven't heard, I had a back injury a couple of weeks before the competition. I was lifting something heavy and twisted with it and basically caused a back injury, which if anybody understands spines, you got the disc and then in between the two bones is a disc, which is like a soft bit of cushioning. And what I did is I actually ruptured one of the discs and the inside gel kind of popped out and then pushed on the nerve. That's called the sciatic nerve that goes down from that point to through your butt down to your leg. So I was in a great tremendous amount of pain for the next couple of days and only later found out once I went to hospital what it was.
Mm.
So I was on a lot of painkillers and seen often on crutches around the competition and the whole Southern Hibernation events. And that was basically because of something I did at work.
So you were going for the sympathy vote there.
Well, I kept saying I was... In part, I wasn't intending to, but it was there.
Mm-hmm. It was your ace in the hole.
Yeah, pretty much. That was my attempt. Didn't get me far, though, so I wouldn't recommend it to anybody else for those going for the next year's events. But yeah, I was still part of the competition. I went to everything from the Wednesday night onwards, so the underbear, the registration night, the meet and greet, otherwise known as meat rack, which is very interesting as a competitor. And then you had the barbecue, breakfast barbecue, the cruise, the competition, and then the Sunday night, a Sunday lunch, barbecue and wrap up. So those are the ones I went to. I think you all went to them as well, but as different roles, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
That's right. I suppose, Ryan, your Southern Hibernation story doesn't begin on the Sunday that it started. It would have started months
beforehand. No, it did. Many, many months and many, many meetings beforehand of organising DJs and venues and advertising and all the packaging and all the people that wanted to get involved with, actually putting things in the packs, but it was, I must admit, it was brilliant. By the time that Sunday, the last event, had officially come to a close and the official after party happened at the Laird, that was when I sort of let my hair down. And then I went to bed and I literally slept for 3 days solid.
I saw you let your hair down. People were grabbing it to climb up onto for the love of you. But
dish.
I must admit, I'm one of those people that in the public eye, I'm a good boy, do all the right things, but behind closed doors, I'm as filthy as the next person, probably even worse than Cookie in some ways. I know, got competition.
But it's not a competition.
It's not.
You can both be demented whores.
Thanks, you asshole. But by Sunday roundup, which was at the Peel, those two worlds well and truly collided. So yes, I had fun. I was very much the same as you, Cookie. I went to the bear packing, which was basically us getting together and putting all the little kits together for everybody that had bought packs. But it wasn't until the underwear party, which was on the Wednesday, that was my first event. The problem is that being on the committee is that you can't really enjoy a lot of hibernation. You're too busy working, and it's good to actually meet and greet people at the doors and everything. It's wonderful to get to know people, but you can't actually go off there and enjoy yourself. Occasionally, I'd sneak off and have a cigarette or a beer and chat with people.
Look, now that I've done the whole events, I've done the competing, I'm the same of mentality, because no matter what you do, you know that there is going to be judges. You don't know them until the Saturday, but you're going to be watched in whatever you do, and people take notice of how you react and whatnot. And that's something that, although you may not be directly doing things like you were with the committee and events, you know that somebody's watching you and taking notes all the time. So, yeah, you've always got your guard up in some respects.
Yeah, that's very true. And it's the same with us on the committee because we are a name. You know, we are Vic Bears and we're trying to get people to support us. And
and you're host to a lot of not only interstate but international guests and you want to, you know, be impressive and show that, you know, you're shit and you can put things on. And if there are hassles during the way, you deal with them and you don't fuss about it, which is, I must admit, was something that was very well commented on throughout the whole event. If things happened, you just went with the flow. You made everybody happy in as best you could and there weren't any major hang-ups.
It's all you can do. I mean, I must admit, the only time I actually heard somebody complaining about something was at Skins, which was the after party. And even then, It had absolutely nothing to do with hibernation. So I take my hat off and I give a huge round of applause to all the boys at Vic Bears, and especially to the guys at the Laird and the Dungeon House, now Manhouse, for all their help and all their commitment and everything that they've done. I mean, hibernation wouldn't have existed without the Laird particularly.
Well, considering for most part that's a lot of people consider the Bears home.
Well, yeah.
The den, everything is predominantly centred around the Laird.
Well, it's not only just us that had huge parts in hibernation.
True.
We had our little roving reporter.
Finally had our eye on the spot.
Mr. Jack Chapman.
Oh.
Wandering around.
You're going to give me a big head.
Too late. I've already heard that you have a large head.
Last year, you were a competitor, so you knew everywhere to go.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
This year, you now have the support of the podcast behind you. So what did you end up finding through your journeys?
Well, I don't want to give too much away because this is pretty much the subject of the piece that I'm making, so I don't want to go on too much about it, otherwise I'll start to spoil some of the details. But in between the Monday and the Thursday, with all the events going on, including the underwear party, I was just Jack.
2009.
So after that, I pretty much put on my reporter hat on and pretty much went around with my microphone interviewing people however I could, inconvenienced people however possible. There were more than a few people that were irritated by my journalistic style, which was, I want to speak to you now, come here.
On your knees.
Wow, you're so dominant, Jack.
Oh, I didn't get every interview that I wanted, but hopefully it should all come together. So I pretty much followed a lot of the competitors around and what they did. That I was pretty much there for most of the events, minus the competitors' dinner, which I don't think I probably would have been privy to anyway.
No,
well, you know as much as I now know, the competitors' dinner is pretty much, this is our names, and then this is what we expect of you from the guys running the dinner sort of thing. There wasn't really a lot of interaction until we started at Circuit and we started, okay, this is what we're doing. And we just bumped into each other as we did what we did.
So what I did is that I kind of took all the usable material I could from Meat Rack Night, but also I went to the competitors' breakfast, which is a very exclusive event. You've got to either be a photographer, one of the contestants, a judge, or pretty much the owner of the venue.
Or the person running the barbecue. Which you did a very good job.
Thank you very much, Ryan. My God. I had third-degree burns, and I think I singed half the hair off my hands to do cooking bacon on a barbecue. But, But I want to say a little special little shout out to Julian, who was the only person who actually said thank you for breakfast. So thank you, Julian. That was incredibly sweet of you. Don't give me that attitude.
Maybe
he did not.
Maybe other people said thank you, but you only really heard it from Julian.
Probably, fixated. Yeah. That's right. Probably.
You had your blinkers on.
Probably, because I'm used to you guys being absolutely lovely and adorable, and the committee members being lovely and adorable. So it was just nice to hear it from a complete stranger.
So I pretty much went to most of the events that I was also backstage with the competitors for most of the time, also conducting interviews and just bumming around. So
and watching the fluffing fly.
I was not watching any of the fluffing. The fluffing was over by the time that I had actually gone into the dressing room.
Quickly, just give us a little rundown. What was happening backstage?
Well, backstage, unlike previous years where the garage for the Laird was used and it was completely empty, there wasn't a lot of space this year for where the competitors put their stuff.
So, it was very close and intimate, was it?
Very close and intimate. It was pretty much like just a long corridor, if you imagine a corridor at school or at work. And we just basically had all our gear set up watching the TV right at the back end of the corridor. So, getting changed, you know, you bump bums with a lot of the competitors trying to get changed and whatnot. And, you know, we're quite impressed with each other. You know, touchy-feelies quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And there was a bit of fluffing going on quite often as well.
Mm. There wasn't an official fluffer this year.
Exactly. Unlike previous years where they had a particular person fluffing, we all opted to fluff ourselves.
Because sharing is caring.
Isn't that... Well, it's, you know, in these hard, you know, times of economic crisis...
Well, that's right. And in all honesty, that was probably the most action those guys got during the competition for the ones that kind of had eyes on who... may not have eventuated later on after the competition.
Hmm.
So, yeah, that was fun to be had by all, let's say.
But it's kind of interesting now that you bring it up. Just a southern hibernation means different things to different people.
Hmm.
I mean, you'd have some people that treat it like a complete sex fest and go completely off the chain during that weekly that week period.
Speaking of which, I did hear a damn good comment.
What
from
was that?
Somebody who was in a relationship. If you are in a relationship for that 1 week of hibernation, if it's completely monogamous, you go open relationship for that week. I've heard partners say that.
Wow.
Yeah. Just because it is much treated for most people as a sex fest. So,
But there are other people that also use it as a networking opportunity.
True that.
As well. And they're the kind of people that
for want sex,
to,
maybe.
Well, that too. But there are some, but they use it as a networking opportunity and they're so busy going to all these events, they kind of wonder to themselves, how the hell do people kind of fit it all in?
Mm.
Just doing the events leaves you buggered, let alone maybe having some buggering. Or buggery also involved as well.
I completely second that. By the end of, like I said, by the end of all the events, I slept for 3 days solid. And I don't mean to toot my own horn here, but I had many a circumstance where men were coming up and saying to me, oh, I'd like for you to, you know, come back to my hotel room or come back to my place. Hmm. And I was like, no, I just want to sleep. You know, I will play with you after hibernation. But right now, I just want to go to sleep.
Yes, I must say... No points on me bell here, but two guys was probably the most I ever got with that whole week. And that is for very similar reasons. I was exhausted, considering my body was already in a state of wreck as it was before I started. It was just as worse. So, yeah, there was a fair few guys I'd love to have gotten with, but I just had to use it as a networking tool and say, look, I'll get your details and I'll contact you as soon as I can muster me body to.
So, Jack.
Yes.
What was your favourite event?
My favourite event? Oh, boy.
Mm.
I've got to say that probably Thursday night. I mean...
Oh, registration night?
Registration night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not a particularly sexy event. It's not a particularly happening event.
It was supposed to be a leather night.
Supposed to
And me
be.
And my best friend were all decked out in leather and nobody else was.
Excuse me?
Oh, well, I mean, of course you
me,
were.
Me and the cub who I had staying with me, Tim. Who
the, house, the house cub.
Well, yeah, believe it or not, I've got a lot... I'll mention him a bit later on because there was a lot going on between me and Tim behind the scenes of what was happening. But yeah, let's just say I introduced him to leather and since he took the first photo of him in leather...
He sort of run with it.
Well, yeah, he was basically a sex idol after that for the whole event. Everybody just wanted him because he was just a hot fucking cub in leather.
I just wanted to squeeze his cheeks. He was so cute.
He was a damn good kisser too.
Oh, yes, yes.
So, please.
Okay, all these stories are really making me jealous.
Don't so worry, you'll
why,
have yours.
Come on, why was registration night your favourite night?
I say that it's probably the most memorable night.
Oh, okay. What happened?
Well, it's kind of one of those events where you kind of, or times where you see someone across the bar and the music stops. Maybe you've got the little violin music going on.
Music swells.
Would you say it reminds you a lot of what den nights would normally be like?
That's not the story that I'm trying to tell.
Oh, just Dan, in the atmosphere of everything else, it was probably out of the events I went to.
Jack doesn't really look across the room at all of the den nights and find somebody and music swells and whatnot.
Yeah, but quite often that's because not a lot of international and interstate people are there on den nights.
There was this really cute person.
Mm-hmm.
and I saw him speaking to Russell. So I had to, but I was a bit too shy to go up to him directly. So I had to go up to Russell and go, oh my goodness, who was that cute guy you're speaking to? I need to know, I need to know. So it turns out that his name was Ash Unicum.
Ooh.
And that he was a nursing student, and like myself, this is what is his first time in the competition, and that he wanted to use it as a way to get himself known, to get his, not only to get his feet wet in the bear community, but just to do a cannonball into it, really.
Mm.
So I kind of mustered up the courage, and well, I think we got on like a house on fire until a little detail kind of came out, which kind of sunk my confidence.
I am really into daddies.
So that pretty much is sparked the beginning of the story, which is something that kind of unraveled itself or kind of went on throughout the entire event. So although a lot was going on, it's pretty much what occurred to me between him and I, which kind of is what left the lasting impression.
Mm.
I think it's bittersweet.
Oh, I think it's cute.
You know, funny thing, I had a similar relationship with Ash as well. Probably not as direct as you, but because he was also a competitor, I had a different style of interaction, but a similar relationship.
I love you, but if you win, I'll scratch your eyes out.
Yeah, something like that. No, it's funny you should mention about daddy chasers, because it was another thing I found for the predominant cub community of the whole hibernation. Mm. You were very hard-pressed to find one cub who was into another cub. Mm. Most of the cubs were actually chasing daddies. And I must admit, as a cub for a cub, it was very heart-wrenching.
Yes, I'm a cub for cubs too. I mean, I'm not daddy exclusionary,
mm,
that if the right person came along, but generally I'm after a cute smiley face.
Hmm.
But I've got the perfect idea. Cookie, will you hold out your hand to mine?
Darling.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
It is.
After 18 episodes, you think it's the start?
We'll hunt cubs for each other.
I'm sorry, I prefer daddies. I like cubs too, don't get me wrong, but I do prefer older blokes.
You're a daddy's cub.
I am a daddy's cub. Mm.
So that's pretty much the beginning of that story. Mm. I'll also be telling it in a bit more detail in the piece that I'm working on. I'm looking for even more opportunities. I think I can get at least 3 more opportunities in this podcast to advertise it. Even though if you're subscribed to this podcast, you're probably going to listen to it anyway. You know, we expect quite a bit from our competitors, that not only do they have to be the embodiment of the bear community and represent it, but I think that we also expect a little bit of grey. How am I supposed to say this?
You can compare it to a lot of Miss USA pageants, a lot of people would say. A lot of people think it's all about the fuzz and the attitude and how cute and furry and sexy they look.
It's about the brains as well as the brawn. And while I was conducting some of the interviews for my new documentary, keep on listening out for it, I've got 2 more to go, that I asked him a couple of questions, like the kind of questions that you would get asked at a beauty pageant. So here are some of the responses that I got when I asked the question, as Mr. Australasia Bear, what would you do to make the world a better place?
My name is Matthew Hanks. Get the sex out there, get people aware that, you know, there's men out there that want similar men, mm-hmm, or men who are a bit different, but, you know, if you know what I mean, men alike.
Hi everyone, my name is BJ Hope and I'm from Melbourne. It's basically a title about education, getting out amongst the community and letting everyone know how great this community is.
My name's Jeff Ostling. I'm from Sydney. Aha! First of all, I would try and use the media a lot more than has happened so far. We need to have people in the bear community who are out on the radio and on television that can actually show people who are stuck at home in suburbia that, in fact, this big, wonderful world is out there. You don't have to be lonely. You don't have to be alone. You don't have to not be part of a community. And to stress to the rest of the world that the gay community is not made up of only of drag queens or of sissy boys or of beautiful young clones or whatever. The gay community has all shapes and sizes.
My name is Daniel Kennett. Help people learn more about the bear community and hopefully encourage more people to become a part of it.
My name is David Cook. I would like to spread the word that bear is not necessarily a stereotype, it is not a cliche, but perhaps a way of life and a different concept of looking at life in a gay perspective.
Mm-hmm. My name is Jason. Well, I was waiting for the world peace question. Promote the community. I think the bear community is really good for accepting a lot more different types of kind of people and a very different image to what sometimes the gay image is always portrayed.
Yep.
And I like that. I think that's what's good about the bear community. I like it. So, and I hope I would like to be part. If I have to represent it for a year and some of my duties, then I would like to represent the fact that the community is lots of different shapes and sizes.
My name is Eric. I'm going to ban straight marriage and have government-funded ads for bear beats.
My name is Julian. World peace. No, HIV is something that I believe is very much alive and a lot of people take for granted, and that more fundraising should be done on, you know, the bear community's behalf. They're real people and people should actually acknowledge them and not have a judgment upon them.
My name is Mike Abinnis. Well, bears are renowned for being open and inclusive and always there to make people feel welcome and warm. And I think what I'll do is I'll just be able to tour and go on my tour of duties and make everyone know that that we are welcoming, we are warm, and make sure to invite them all into my arms.
My name is Barry Rickard. Well, what I would try to do is to spread the word in America and tell them about the clubs in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we've got good clubs in Australia, so why not support the clubs in Australia? Why go to over there when we can bring them here? Mm-hmm. That's what I'll be trying to do, is spread the word of Australia.
Hi, my name is Ash Unicum. I'm going to go out in public more, so more people get to see me, and then everyone will just be happier.
Some of those are pretty interesting as far as responses.
I liked Eric Kuhlman's one where he said that he would ban straight marriage and have government-funded advertising for bear beats. So that would make my
spoken
world...
by the Liberal Party Canberra or something.
That would make my world a better place, at least.
Yeah. But I have to admit, they are all better than this particular response from one of the teen Miss USA pageants.
Okay. Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the US on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that US Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. Or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
What the fuck?
That clip is a bit old, but what I did next is that I asked topical questions to all the competitors to see what kind of response that they could provide on the fly.
Mm.
And I think that all of them were a bit more eloquent than our Miss Teen USA.
So, after we've done all the interviews, all the deliberating has been done, we also had another award.
Yes, on the Sunday morning, I did a bit of polling for the Cubby House's 100% Unofficial People's Choice Award. So, what I did is that I went around the Sunday barbecue, and I asked people who they wanted to elect for the People's Choice Award and why. And, can we please have a fanfare? That was a nice fanfare.
That was a wonderful fanfare.
The winners are...
Winners.
Winners.
Ooh.
It's a tie.
Oh, woo! God.
It's Jason Lee and Julian Ferrer.
Yay.
So, our winners of Mr. Cub, Mr. Australasia Bear, and Mr. Bear, respectively.
Mm.
But we couldn't just give them two trophies. We couldn't just do that.
No, our budget doesn't go that far.
So what we've decided to do is we've taken our trophy here that was designated for our winner, and we're going to divide it in two and send it to the winners. It's
and this is their response when we call them early this morning.
Hello.
Hello, Jason. Welcome to the Cubby House.
Thank you very much.
Now, we've been doing a little bit of investigative reporting, and I've just gone over the judging tallies of the competition, and it turns out that Mike Binnis was the actual winner of the competition. I'm sorry you had to find out this way.
Oh, no. Which one was he again? Sorry, was it Mike? Was the New Zealand boy?
Yes.
Oh, he actually won, did he?
I'm sorry, but you're going to have to hand in your sash. I'm really sorry. It's been a big mix-up.
Oh, no. That's dreadful. No, you are joking, aren't you?
Actually, we're calling to say that you have won, in part, the Cubby House People's Choice Award for 2009. So, congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. That's excellent.
You'll be sharing your title with Julian, actually.
Oh, cool, cool.
So, we'll send you half a trophy or something.
Okay, excellent. Excellent. No, thank you very much. That's great. Thank you.
All right, we'll contact you after the show and get the details so we can send this thing off to you.
Oh, okay, cool.
Ta-ra.
See you later, mate.
Bye. Thank
you.
Hello?
I'm sorry.
Hello, my phone, Julian. Hang on a sec.
You there?
Cookie, what were you doing calling me?
Was I just calling you? What?
Yes. All right, Julian, sorry. We've got some pretty exciting news. Are you standing up right now?
Yep.
Then you'd better take a seat.
Okay, cool.
Okay, here's our exciting news. You have half won our Southern Hibernation People's Choice Award, which is completely unofficial. So you're sharing the title with Jason, actually. So we'll send half a trophy your way and maybe half a certificate.
Half a trophy?
Yes.
What happened to Jason can get the half?
We'll get our buzzsaw out because we only really pre-ordered one trophy, so...
I'll
settle for a little bottle of Amel and half a glass of champagne.
So, do you want the top half? Do you want me to split it top-wise or side-to-side? Because...
I've always enjoyed a bottom half, so yeah, perhaps the bottom half will do me just good.
All right, we'll all send you an email after the program so we can get the details to send it out to you, and maybe Ryan could tag along as well. I think he showed an interest in you.
Will that be the bottom half?
You can have the whole thing if you want.
Awesome.
That's something that Jason doesn't get. It's compensation. He gets the sash and you get Ryan.
Oh, no, I want the sash. I want the sash.
Oh, gee, thanks.
He can have the trophy, I just want the sash.
Alright.
All right.
Will everybody please turn off their mobile phones during recording?
Definitely. Thanks a lot for that, Julian.
That's alright, man. Have a good one, boys.
You too, buddy. You too.
Bye.
Let's all have our phones on silence now. Yes. Silence, yes.
It's like the loudest turn-off sound ever. Now, here are some of the responses that we got as to why Julian should win the People's Choice Award.
I would say Julian, yep, because he was the one that I actually thought would be the overall winner.
I like Julian.
I don't know his number. He was a big, hairy guy from Victoria who had previously the night wore a coveralls.
My pick would have to be Julian. I just really liked his stage presence and his performance that he put on.
Okay, because he exonerates all that is bare.
It was very good.
I think that Julian was very, very hot boy. Definitely a nice help. So, yeah, Julian would be my pick.
Well, naturally, I'd like to cast my vote for me. It was close, but he had my vote.
And here's Jason's responses as to why he should win the People's Choice Award.
Jason Lee.
I like Jason.
I'm going to go for the Sydney vote and say Jason.
Well, he's funny, he's outgoing, he knows how to have a good time.
Yes.
He's a star, he's my hero.
And he's a good flirt.
He had a bit more sanity than some of the other people on there.
Because I had a chat to him before I knew he was a contestant, he seemed really down to earth and cool. And he's cute too.
So congratulations, both of you. We'll send them to you via regular Australia Post, nice and cheaply.
Yeah, trust your budget to only accommodate that much. So that was Southern Hibernation for 2009. Thank you very much to everybody that was involved, organised, held, ran, and just generally enjoyed the whole event to make it a really successful week.
Only you can make a Southern Hibernation happen.
Going back to the corner where I first saw you. Gonna camp in my sleeping bag, I'm not gonna move. Got some work.
Now, coming back from Southern Hibernation. The next topic I want to talk about is something that I had thought about before Hibernation, but it really struck home after it had all been and gone. Reason being, I played host to a friend of mine from Sydney who, during the week, I started to fall in love with.
Aww.
Thank you. I feel oh so much better.
He was a cutie patootie.
Well, he was. And the whole story behind this is the fact that he's the first person I've ever fallen for in over 4 years.
Wow.
So it really, it really hit hard when it all happened. And there was a song that I'd been listening to. It was by The Script. It was called The Man Who Can't Be Moved, as you just heard in the intro. And it really brought up the question in my mind, how far would people go for love and how far would that extend before reality and sensibility kicked in to say, well, that's unrealistic?
I know that this is a completely flaggable offence, but I would do anything for love, but I wouldn't do that.
And that being what?
No, the Meatloaf song. I'd do anything for love, but I won't do that.
Yes, my ass.
What wouldn't you do?
My question
Meatloaf
is,
impressions?
how far would we all go? I've always had the thought of, okay, if I fell in love with somebody interstate, I probably wouldn't move. I couldn't do the long-distance relationship thing myself, so it'd pretty much be a null and void relationship because of that. If they lived on the other side of the city, however, that wouldn't be so much of a problem because I don't mind travelling a lot. I know people who can't stand travelling the other side of the city and whatever else. So how far have we gone for past relationships?
Well, the first partner that I had was living in Mildura, and I was living in Melbourne. So that would have been about 600 kilometres, I'm not quite too sure. It's not exactly close. So for a while there, he commuted back and forth, and we spoke to each other online and kind of went to virtual dates online.
Where we kind of
went to a virtual park, and we sat our virtual selves down, and we kissed and hugged and that kind of thing virtually. And when you're like 16 or whatever it is, or however old I was, that can kind of cut it.
Mm-hmm.
The other partner that I had was living in Geelong, which takes about 2 hours for me to get to via public transport, probably about 1.5 if I were to go by car. And I think even that was workable. So across town isn't all that bad.
But if you, say Ash did say hypothetically, yes, I'd love to be your partner. He lives the other side of the country, west from where we are in Melbourne. Would you pack your things up and move over to him?
I think when it comes to that kind of thing, that if both of you really genuinely believe that you want it to work, then somehow you're going to find a way to try and make things work out. I mean, that's a particularly, dare I say, an exceptionally rare situation. But if it's something that you really wanted to work that badly, then it probably is something that would be open to negotiation.
What about you, Mr. Rhino?
I'm a real romantic sort of person. I mean, right now I'm not looking for a relationship. For the first time, I'm actually really enjoying my single life. But if I did meet the right guy, I probably wouldn't move interstate. This is really bizarre. I probably wouldn't move interstate because I love Melbourne way, 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 way too much. However, I probably would move overseas. If I met a guy in, say, for example, America or Canada, I'd probably move in a heartbeat. If it was the UK, it would be really difficult because I have no desire to live there whatsoever. But I love love. I really do. You know, I mean, when I have just like a normal hot session with a guy, there's a lot of kissing, there's a lot of touching, rubbing and all that sort of stuff. A lot of intimacy involved. It's not just a quick fling sort of thing. So I'm very big on romance. I mean, I nearly did move to Brisbane at one stage for a partner. But I would go really far. If I knew, you know, this was the one and, you know, I would do anything for them.
So you're at a point in your life where you're comfortable to move away from family and your current career and all that sort of stuff.
Well, that's the sort of the bit of the kick in the head, because if it was interstate, no, because I'm about, you know, 20 minutes drive from my best friends. I'm about 15 minutes drive from my parents. I'm about 15 minutes drive from where I work. So everything's nice and handy and it's close and I love it and everything. So I would have to do a big move rather than just, you know, I would sooner move to Iran than move to Sydney. I cannot stand New South Wales whatsoever. But when I went to America back in 2001 and then again in 2002, I just fell in love with the place. So, yeah, I'd move there in a heartbeat.
Because for me personally, I'm at that point where I'm still really, like, yes, I've moved out of home, so I'm not in the family unit. I've got a lot of friends, be it this side of the city and the east and the north. Everywhere I've got friends in Melbourne. I do love the city and whatnot, and I do have a very solid career here. And it's a question of my career. Yes, if I had to, I could up and change it.
Hmm.
The qualifications I've got, I can go almost anywhere because there's always going to be a call for lift mechanics or whatever.
Yeah.
Or electricians at that.
Even in Iran.
Yes, even in Iran. Anywhere, there's a global trade shortage. So getting a job qualified, I'm not exactly too fussed about. But my biggest thing is family and friends. I've been really big on, you know, the family unit and family bonding. And at least for the next couple of years, I need to stay close because I've got my grandparents who aren't that far off.
Mm-hmm.
So
to put it nicely,
well,
to be subtle,
yeah, I know it's we all know it's going to happen. It's just now a matter of when.
Mm.
They've made it very clear. They're slowly residing to that fact that it's only a matter of time anyway. But yeah, that's my biggest reason for staying put at the moment where I am, and that may mean that romantically I don't have a chance. It may mean I just haven't looked in the right spots yet, but it's still an interesting one to ponder on how far, if you did meet someone who you couldn't resist, how far would you go?
But with Tim, you weren't exactly put into that situation.
Well, no, but it was something that I've met him before and I've played with him before when I was up in Sydney. He was a really nice guy. We really clicked. And he was fairly innocent up there. Let's just mention that.
Why is it important fact that he's innocent?
Well,
is that something that you're into?
No, it was more a case that when he came to Melbourne, the longer he stayed, the less innocent he got, although he still claimed innocence as tourist. It was a bit of an inside joke between him and his mates, so a bit strange but funny all the same. Yeah, basically when he goes into state, he becomes a total hug slut and everything else that goes with it, which is good. I like it. But it also meant, at least for how I was feeling and how I wanted it to be, it wasn't going to happen anyway. But it always played on my mind. I'd fallen in love with him for the time that we had.
Aww. Yeah. Well, maybe we should put it to the people out there. They can write to us and let us know how far they went for love.
Email us, please, at thepodcast@thecubbyhouse.com.
Just podcast.
Yes, podcast at thecubbyhouse.net.au, or you can check us out on the web at www.thecubbyhouse.net.au.
How far have you gone? I've gone to the fridge and back for love. Food can love me.
I think I went to the sauna and back, but it wasn't exactly for love.
Yeah, I went to the other dungeons.
It was liquid love.
Coming up in part two of show 18, I recently have taken on the role of a mentor.
A dementor? Getting excited, Harry Potter's coming out, you know, dementor.
Yeah, I know, I know. Yeah, yeah. Watch her, I'll pull out me wand later.
I want a hug.
Or you can always quote the song, I'm coming out, I want the world to... Okay.
Yeah, because that would get deleted.
All right, I think
and then Cookie would get his head...
That was almost flaggable.
Cubby House was made in conjunction with Joy 94.9. For more podcasts, check out joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.